Welcome back to Analyzing Trends. Today we're diving into a topic that's been simmering beneath the surface of the fashion world for years, but has now, in 2025, reached a boiling point. If you've been following the headlines, you've probably seen the uproar over Adidas and their so-called Oaxaca slip-on. Now, I know fashion controversies aren't exactly new. Brands have been borrowing, or let's be honest, lifting, from other cultures for decades. But this moment feels different. There's a sense that something fundamental has shifted. What used to be a slow, reciprocal exchange between designers and living traditions has become, well, a hunt for quick, eye-catching content. It's all about speed, recognizability, and marketing, not about context or reciprocity. The Adidas case is a perfect storm. In August, Mexican officials accused Adidas of cultural appropriation for releasing a sandal that looked suspiciously like the traditional Oaxacan huarache. The design, done with US designer Willy Chavarria, mimics the woven leather structure that's central to indigenous Oaxacan identity and economy. Mexican authorities demanded withdrawal, an apology, and restitution. Adidas, to their credit, signaled a willingness to work toward a remedy, and Chavarria expressed regret. But here's the kicker, this isn't just a PR headache. Thanks to Mexico's 2022 heritage law, indigenous communities now have collective intellectual property rights. There are real legal and financial risks, fines, even prison penalties. So the question we're asking today is, how did fashion get here, where appropriation is so normalized that many people barely notice it? And what needs to change so culture is respected, not just mined for profit? Let's set the stage for why appropriation is riskier now than ever before. First, public literacy has changed dramatically. Consumers are more aware of the power imbalances in cultural exchange. They expect transparency, consent, credit, and fair compensation. Social media, for all its flaws, has made it much easier to trace the origins of designs and to call out misuse. And it's not just the public. Governments are stepping in. Mexico's heritage law is a model, giving collective rights to communities and mandating benefit sharing. We're starting to see similar frameworks pop up in other countries. The market itself is volatile. Global luxury demand is slowing, post-pandemic recovery is uneven, and consumer values are shifting. Brands are under pressure to create quick, visually distinctive hits that can cut through the noise. The temptation to dip into cultural archives is high because these designs come with built-in recognition and emotional resonance. But, and this is crucial, the same speed and visibility that make these designs attractive also mean that origin communities and activists can mobilize almost instantly. What used to be a slow burn is now a flash fire. And as we discussed in our episode on shibboleths and brand language, the meaning of symbols is more contested and visible than ever. Now let's zoom out a bit. Fashion's habit of appropriation isn't new. What's changed is the legal structure, public awareness, and the speed of communication. Take the story of Jodhpurs, for example. Originally, these were Indian churidar trousers designed for equestrian mobility. British polo players adopted them in the late 19th century, and over time, they became a symbol of British aristocratic sport and military prestige. The Indian origins faded from public consciousness. Tara Mayer's research on colonial South Asia shows how imperial structures reshaped and erased material culture. And Park and Chun's work on fashion theory highlights how designers reframed cultural objects, stripping away meaning while monetizing the aesthetic. There are plenty of other examples: tartan after the Highland clearances, Croatian cravats, Turkish and Persian waistcoats, the kimono and chipao, marketed as Western luxury symbols. Centuries of repetition have embedded these appropriated designs as neutral or timeless. That's why, for many consumers, modern appropriation is almost invisible. It's just fashion, right? But as we saw with the Jodhpurs, the original culture can disappear from view, till a controversy drags it back into the conversation. So, how did we get from slow, atelier-driven fashion to this algorithm-fueled shortcut economy? Over the past two decades, the industry's center of gravity has shifted. It's no longer about the singular vision of a designer. Conglomerates treat brands as assets, creative directors rotate like football managers, and marketing is the real engine. Social platforms compress trend cycles into weeks, sometimes days. Microtrends are optimized for clicks, not cultural depth. Performance marketing, CRM data, and brand codes have replaced provenance and narrative. And then there's dupe culture, where copying is normalized and the line between homage and theft is blurry at best. Even in the so-called quiet luxury era, brands rely on visual cues that travel well online, often detached from their origins. The system rewards speed, novelty, and visibility. The time and reciprocity needed for respectful cultural exchange. Those are seen as obstacles, not as the core of creative work. It's a bit like what we discussed in our episode on Bayesian clarity. If you only optimize for what's visible and immediate, you miss the deeper, slower signals that actually matter. The Adidas case isn't just another headline, it's a turning point. Adidas didn't operate in a vacuum. This move fits into long-standing industry habits of borrowing cultural forms without deep engagement. But the context in 2025 is different. Laws are sharper, public awareness is higher, and scrutiny is relentless. The same structural pressures that incentivize appropriation now magnify the consequences. This isn't just about reputation anymore. There are tangible legal, financial, and operational risks. Once consumer trust is lost, it's incredibly hard to rebuild, especially in an era where everything is searchable and nothing is forgotten. What might have been called inspiration a decade ago can now trigger legal action and long-term brand damage. It's a bit like what we saw with the Ozempic effect. When the context changes, the same actions have radically different consequences. The Adidas example shows that the industry can't keep treating culture as a free resource. The cost of shortcuts is rising. So, what's the way forward? First, brands need deep cultural literacy. That means researching beyond aesthetics, understanding symbolism, history, and living practice. Consult cultural bearers early, not as an afterthought. Co-creation is key. Partner with artisans and communities. Share creative control, profit, and credit. Build relationships that last beyond a single collection. And innovate, don't just imitate. Use cultural references as a starting point, not a blueprint. Change the function, materials, and purpose to create something genuinely new. Transparency is non-negotiable. Publicly share provenance and partnership details. Treat origin credit as a value proposition, not a liability. Embed legal and ethical review upstream. Make heritage protection part of the design process, not a last-minute check. And, crucially, rebalance incentives. Shift brand KPIs to reward cultural stewardship alongside sales. It's a tall order, but as we've seen in previous episodes, the brands that adapt to new cultural realities are the ones that thrive. To wrap up, appropriation isn't new, but our ability to address it is. The Jodhpur's story shows how easily origins can be erased over time. The Adidas case shows that in today's environment, ignoring origins is no longer safe or sustainable. Culture shouldn't be a prop for brand storytelling, it should be treated as a relationship. The brands that embrace this shift, from extraction to stewardship, will not only avoid risk, but also create the most original and resonant work of the coming decade. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll be back soon to analyze more signals that are shaping our future.